Welcome to the All-in-One podcast for middle school language arts teachers. I'm Linda, and I've been a teacher for over 30 years. I can help you with tips, tricks, and motivation that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and enjoy more free time. Well, hey there, it's Linda. If you're listening in real time, it is the beginning of November, which means Halloween is behind us. Glory, hallelujah. However, November is the month when most of us are in a grading frenzy as first marking period grades are due. And we are trying to do all of this in the short weeks before the coveted Thanksgiving break. I have personally felt so exhausted by the time I get to Thanksgiving that it was honestly sometimes difficult to enjoy. So I think it's a very timely time to talk about grading. Before we get to today's topic, I want to make sure that you know that I always mention at least one freebie in my podcast. In this podcast, I'll be mentioning one that you don't want to miss. I also really want to encourage you to sign up for my email list, as I do a bunch of freebies, and once you are on my list, I start sending them out to my subscribers. You'll also be alerted when there is a sale or a new product of interest, so you definitely want to opt into this. Everything that I mention will be linked in the show notes. So, today we're going to be talking about something that is the bane of our existence as middle school language arts teachers, and that is grading. I know, but don't tune out yet because I'm going to specifically talk about what you don't need to grade. Sounds too good to be true, right? But since I have over 30 years of experience, I have really come to understand what I don't need to grade. But I only really understood this in the last years of my teaching. So I'm hoping that my experience will help you sooner rather than later, and that you can free yourself of unnecessary work and anguish. I know that sounds very dramatic, but it is anguish for anybody who's had to grade 80 essays or more. You know what it feels like. So when I started thinking about this topic, my mind went right to the pandemic. Our students had to wait a considerable amount of time to get onto video due to legal considerations. And at that time, I really didn't know what to do with myself. So I thought that reviewing all of their work and carefully grading it and giving a lot of feedback in some way, shape, or form would show the students and the parents that I cared and that I was there for them. Guess what? Wrong. Totally wrong. I got a lot of pushback from parents saying that I was giving too much and demanding too much. And all I ended up doing in the end was stressing the kids out and myself to no end. From that experience, I learned a valuable lesson on what not to grade, at least all of the time. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is spelling, punctuation, and grammar errors, your basic mechanics. So while spelling, punctuation, and grammar are essential skills, we don't always need to grade them. We can get ourselves and our kids bogged down in this. Kids might be too preoccupied to get their thoughts out and organized. There is definitely a time to do this, but we don't need to do it on all assignments. Another option here is to pick one thing that you will grade from this category. For example, if you are teaching how to write dialogue, that would be a time to focus on punctuating dialogue. Or perhaps you notice that your students are constantly mixing verb tenses. Then perhaps you could focus on that for a particular assignment. And grammar is really tricky. We want our kids to get these skills, but grading it all the time is just not practical. And quite frankly, as a language arts teacher, I'm sure you're like me, I hear adults speak grammatically incorrectly quite often. So it's just not practical to grade it and hold kids accountable on every bit of grammar all the time. If you need some ideas on grammar, please read my blog post on how to sneak in more grammar. And I also did a podcast on it, and it contains a lot of ideas that don't need grading. But I would keep in this category of mechanics, I would keep some non-negotiables, and I would keep them posted in a clear place in your room and on your digital learning platform of the non-negotiables that kids must always follow. For me, it's things like capitalizing sentences and proper nouns, punctuating the end of a sentence, running a spell check on a final draft, and things like that. And these are rules that must be followed at all times. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here. You would think that, a 12-year-old would automatically capitalize every sentence, but they don't. So you really want to come up with a list of your non-negotiables because it will create better habits and it will automate it in their writing. Okay, the next thing I think that does not need to be graded are bell ringers and exit tickets. So, bell ringers, also known as your do now or your anticipatory set, are designed to get kids engaged in the material that they will be ingesting that day. These are like a warm-up for the brain. They are not designed to give kids anxiety over getting it right or perfecting their spelling and punctuation and grammar, nor are they designed to give you extra work to grade. This was something that I graded during the pandemic because, quite frankly, if I didn't, they didn't turn it in. And for some reason, I felt I had to. Again, as I said earlier, big mistake. I was constantly going back to check on these items, and it was a waste of my time because the moment had already passed. So, for example, if I gave them a due now on creating, let's say, a theme for their life, because we were teaching theme, and they didn't turn it in, and now we've moved on to another lesson, it's kind of come and gone at that point. I'm not saying that you should never go back and collect kids' work because obviously something like teaching theme is always going to be pertinent. However, there is only so much that you can do. With exit tickets, we sometimes like to use them as a formative assessment. And that's a great idea, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be grading them. If I give kids an actual physical ticket, and I use usually an index card, I quickly group them into three piles. One pile would be they understand the concept, one pile would be they somewhat understand the concept, and the third pile is they have no clue about the concept. I can then address the issue the next day before continuing. So, do I make all kinds of charts and lists of kids who don't get it and do this for every skill? No way. Not on a regular basis, anyway. I might pull a small group based on it during a writing workshop or something like that, but recording and grading, no, I don't have time to do that. Okay, the next thing I don't think you need to do are their drafts of their writing. As a language arts teacher, writing drafts is a huge portion of my writing workshop. In my class, drafting is a way to get your thoughts out and give it a try. It is not the time for grading. It is a time for me to sit down with a student and have a conversation, such as, how's it going? How can I help? Where are you stuck? If you feel the need to grade to make sure kids do it, and believe me, I get that because I do that, just enter a completion grade of maybe a 0 to 3. 0 means they didn't do it. 1 is minimal effort. 2, they did most of it. And 3 is for the kids who really put the effort in. And I don't know about you, but you can almost do this before the kids turn it in, can't you? I mean, I would always look at their work, but you know the kids who are going to give their 100%. You know the kids who are going to give minimal effort. obviously look at it. I'm not suggesting that you guess it, but I'm just saying it's a very intuitive thing, and something like that should be a very quick grade for you. Okay. I know it's subjective, but that's okay. You are their teacher and you know them best, and it is not a final draft. When you are doing drafting and writing workshop, your time is much better spent in conferencing. If you need a way to keep track, I have a free product for you. I want you to go to my show notes and grab your free writing workshop conference forms. It'll just give you a nice organizational system to record things for skills that you really need your kids to know. Okay, the next thing that I think you do not need to grade are notebook entries. You do not need to grade every notebook entry. Notebooks are more of a check-in, and at best, I grade them for completion with my eye also on their effort, as I know my students well, and I know when they are phoning it in and not giving it a good effort. I do still grade notebooks, but I do it in a very simple way. So for reading and writing workshop, the main reason for a notebook is to give kids a chance to practice what they learned. So when I walk around in conference, I check in. I might make that quick note on my conference sheet that I mentioned that is a freebie. And if a student needs help with any of the skills, okay. And again, I would usually grade these on somewhere from like a 0 to 3 and do it quickly. Okay. And please do not lug all these notebooks home with you. Goodness gracious. I used to do it all the time. It was insane. It didn't really help me or my students to move along in the long run. It was much better spent by, you know, bring your notebook up, let me take a peek, and having like a quick conference with them on the spot saying, you know what, you are not putting forth enough effort. You need to do a little bit more. Or on the flip side, you are doing so much work in here. I'm so proud of you. And honestly, I hope you're not spending more than a half hour on these entries, because I don't know about you, but some of my kids would actually put in too much work, and I don't want them wasting their time on something that does not warrant it. Okay. Lastly, hopefully this is something you've considered. Do not grade every classwork and homework assignment. Just no, heck no. You do not need to burden yourself with this. And I did this, and I'm going to say I did this as a new teacher, but I did this for a long time. I suspect most of us did. The fact is, you will drown in it if you try to keep up with it. Going over work in class is much more useful. These assignments are formative in nature. I do go around and glance at certain homework assignments and enter a completion grade in my online gradebook. And honestly, that's enough. So free yourself. Please remember, grading does not equal caring. At one time I thought it did, but it just doesn't. Okay, so just to recap, we talked about not grading every bit of mechanics, bell ringers and exit tickets, drafts, notebook entries, and classwork and homework. Be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to be talking about November holidays and how to address them easily in your class. In case you don't want to wait, I'm going to link a freebie to some Thanksgiving activities, as well as a link to my November products on TPT. And before you go, I just would like to take a moment to cordially invite you to join my Facebook group. It is really brand new, and the teachers who have joined are engaged and have great tips. If you're new, you're going to find that this is a great place to get inspiration and ask your questions. And if you're a veteran teacher, you will be surprised at some of the ideas that you never considered. And I'll leave the link to that in the show notes as well. I hope this information was helpful. Be sure to check the links that I mentioned in the show notes. My email is available there as well in case you have questions or comments. You can also DM me on Instagram at All-in-One Middle School. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.